Mr. Joe, you know you're part of us when you start getting picked on. There you go. All right. Am I going to echo too much here? Are y'all guys okay with this? It sounds to me like I'm echoing, but am I good? I'm good. All right. Okay. Tonight, of course, Ben is not well, and it falls upon me to do this, to teach everybody tonight here. That's not the right word. Hopefully, it's to facilitate tonight. Now, have you thought about this? Has anybody thought about this? What we were doing a week ago. You know what we were doing a week ago? Bible-rama. Bible-rama. It was, that was really an awesome showing for the church here at Etheridge. I thought it was just, man, I thought everything just worked really, really well. So, having said that, before we go any farther here, if we can start tonight with a prayer, we'll do that. And let me see who I can call on here tonight to lead us in prayer. Mike, would you mind leading us in a word of prayer, please, sir? Amen. Thank you, Mike. Okay. We are in Romans chapter 2. Now, normally, and I have prepared probably a couple, two or three weeks for this class because I've had time to do that. And because of the time we had off and the other things, so I've had a little bit more time to prepare this. But I will tell you that this study of Romans, I'll just be honest with you. When I'm over here and I'm studying like a topic like this or a chapter in Romans like this, I'm a little more nervous than I would be over there because I have more people here and I think, man, I hope I get this right. So, because Romans, to me, so far, what I have found, Romans is, it may be deeper than my capabilities when I have, as I study this. So, as I start, if I don't get this right, and when you have other things that you see, please speak up here tonight. So we will start and we will read. Let's read from verse 2. Actually, that's too much to read. That's 16 verses there. We'll start in verse 2 and read down through verse 6 to start with. And then down through verse 6. And then we'll talk about that and then we'll go farther. So, Joy, you got to sit down and look up chapter 2. Oh, it's up there? Okay, go. No, just verse through verse 6.
Now we know that God's judgment against those who do so human being, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done.
Thank you, Joy. Okay. The first part of this chapter, Paul is telling those folks in Rome. Also, as we study this, at this particular chapter, we have to remember that some parts of the Bible, all parts of the Bible we have to read in context. We have to read it in the context of what it is. You know, can't just pick out a verse here and a verse there. Sometimes we do that to emphasize our point. But especially in this book that I have studied so far in Romans, you have to read the whole context of this. And you have to be kind of understand where Paul is with the Romans dealing with those folks there in Rome. Because there are quite a few Jews in Rome along with Gentiles in Rome. So when we read this, especially on down in some of the farther end of the chapter, we read this in the context not only of putting it in the verses that are here, but also in the context of where it was written and who it was written to. Because it was written to those people in Rome, and Paul had not been there yet. And he's talking to the Jews and the Gentiles also there. So some of this stuff applies to us. And then some of it, he's talking directly to, not that we can't glean some good from it, but he's talking directly to the Jews and the Gentiles there in Rome. So having said that, it says, do you think we can judge other people? What I get when we read this first part of this, these first six verses, and I guess I need a little help with this also. When we read this, he tells us that we need to really be careful about judging people. We need to be careful about the things that we not necessarily say, but the things that we judge other people about. Because he tells us, he said, listen, you judge them, but you yourself do the same things. Maybe you don't do the very same things that this person does, or the person that you're judging or calling out or whatever the case might be. But we all, basically what Paul's saying is we all sin. We all are people who have done wrong. So in that verse, in verse 1, it says, so when you judge them, you're really condemning yourself. Because God will be the judge. He judges everything, and he'll judge everything we do. And we know that his judgment is going to be correct. His judgment is going to be right. And then when he talks about it, he said, since, basically in verse 3, it says, since you do the same things that these people do, that you judge, you know that God will punish you the same. So, and then on down into, of course, the other verses it talks about, but God is good to us and he gives us, he's patient. And what he's waiting patiently for is for us to, for us to turn away from the things that we're doing, for us to give ourselves to him. And I think about that one line that I think it was on Shark Tank. I think the guy's name's Robert Hirschbeck says, he was doing something and he was being nice to that person and he told him, he said, don't mistake my kindness for weakness. And that's what we need to make sure that we understand with God. We don't need to mistake his kindness for weakness or for allowing us just to skip through and, you know, you tried your best. Sorry about that. You didn't do everything right. What he's waiting for is he's waiting for us to repent. He's waiting for us being patient with us so we will turn to Him. He's just not being nice to us and letting us do what we want because He's a good God, and He is. But that's not why He's doing it. But here's the question that I have that I've struggled with from the first time I read this. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, in the first couple of verses, everybody knows what that says. It says, judge not, lest you be judged. For with what measure you judge, it shall be met unto you. And it goes on farther into that. And then here he tells us that let God be the judge, basically. So my question is, how do we show someone through God's word that what they're doing is not the right thing without people saying, well, you're judging me? When you take His word and you show them the word and what the word says, and if the word's infallible and it's always correct, and the word, and we'll read some down farther into this, and the word is our guide, then how do we do that where people are not automatically thinking that we're judging them? Yeah, and Joe, one of the things I know that we're supposed to do is he tells us in Corinthians that we are to judge those within. We're to judge those within the church to make sure, you know, that we kind of hold each other accountable. As Stephen Gill said the other week, he was doing this. Y'all remember what this was? Iron sharpens iron. That's what he was doing. And that's what the judgment is, that righteous judgment that we have, that, you know, to hold each other accountable. But how do you... Maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe you just share the word. Mike, go ahead. Sorry. Well, see, that's the way I look at it. That's the very way I look at it. But you still hear and see people, and I guess maybe because they don't want anyone to tell them, they don't want anybody to tell them that what they're doing is not right. And that makes it... See, Kathy, I kind of struggled with that also when I was reading that. It kind of... I thought, like you said, it kind of sounds like it's saying two different things, but I know it's not.
But the final judgment is God. We can't tell someone. God has the final judgment.
Yes, that's correct, Miss Dolly.
The verse that bothers me is one back in the last one in the chapter. Are condemned if we approve of those who practice these false sins.
Right.
And so, how do you love and be kind and all of that, but at the same time, somewhere or other, you've got to let them know that you don't approve of the sin that they're involved in. Otherwise, it looks like that you didn't.
Yeah.
There's so many people today that, I don't agree with a lot of people. I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about people living together. We have probably more of that than we do of the other. And yet, you know, I'm nice to them and kind to them. Same thing, you know, about you all need to get married, or you all should not get married. But, you know, but it's one of those situations like, do I look like I'm condoning while I'm being kind and loving? So it's very difficult.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it goes back to what Mike said. The Bible says what it says. But we have to have that loving spirit. We have to love them, but in loving them. And that's why I think sometimes people get mixed up with God. That's why, you know, the verse 6, it says, God has been kind to us. He's been kind to you. He's been patient. But then it goes on down, and we'll read this farther, and actually... it says, and you will be, I'll just go on down into the next verses. It says, but you are, I read through verse 6. Joy, you finished verse 6, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, it says here, it says, you will be punished in verse 5. It says, but you will be punished on the day when God will show his anger. And on that day, everyone will see how right God is to judge his people, or to judge people. He will reward or punish. I'm reading from the Easy Read version. He will reward or punish everyone for what they have done. Now, that goes back to what we were talking about. There's one day that God will have that righteous judgment. He will judge the folks, everyone. He'll judge every one of us here on what, on the things that we've done, on the way that we've lived, the way that we've prepared our hearts for him. Anything else before we go down through here? Because I think it'll help us in figuring this out. Because that's one thing I hope that we could figure out tonight is how exactly we go about this, where we're not being always accused of being, I guess, self-righteous because we think we have all the answers. And here's the thing about that. Do we have all the answers? Can we find all the answers? Yeah. We don't. Do what?
We find what we need.
Yeah.
We have all the answers, but we find what we
need. Yeah, we find what we need. Exactly. Because he gives us enough, does he not? He gives us enough in this word. Paul tells us that he sent the word for us. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect is come. And this is what is perfect, is his words. So, it's no, we don't have all the answers. But this book has the answers for, like Ed said, for what we need. So, anything else before we go into verse 7?
Joey has said through all the years he's been in the ministry, last several years with an elder, people would come to him to justify what they were doing. Justify. A lot of questions. They want me to justify. Right, doing what they're doing. That would scare me a lot, is that we'll justify why we're doing something that the Bible states clearly is wrong. Whatever. Most of the time, it's what we want, our own happiness.
Yeah.
But he says,
yes,
they want me to justify what they're doing with the Bible.
Yeah, that's one of those things that we have. We not necessarily the Church of Christ, but we as a people in general, we have the ability to do that very thing, to justify and rationalize whatever we do so we make us feel better about ourselves on what we do.
Yeah, I think the point here is verse 3, where he's talking to us, man, be careful that
you don't judge somebody for something you're doing yourself. And I think that's what he's saying there. We got to really be careful and examine our own selves first before we start looking at somebody else. Because Paul let us know in different places that he struggled terribly with this. He said, I buffet my body every day to keep it in subjection. And he says, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. He struggled with this every day.
Now, let me stop you right there, Mr. George, for a second. If Paul says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I'm supposed to do, mm-hmm. and this is the Apostle Paul,
right.
Where does that put us?
We all do this.
Yeah.
We all struggle with these things.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't want to admit it, but we do. I mean, I do. I know I do. And we struggle. It's part of just being who we are as humans. And we're sinful. We fight it. But we underestimate Satan's power. And have us doing things we shouldn't. And I think Paul is warning us about this. Don't you look at somebody else when you might be guilty of what you're talking to somebody else about. Just be careful.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point. Jared. Yeah, I mean that's exactly the deal. But the problem, I'll spit it out here in a minute. It's a good thing I was turned that way. I didn't spit on anybody. The problem with that, Jared, it goes back to what Michelle said a second ago. It is really. I guess I'll ask it this way. I had a class over there the other a couple of weeks ago about self-awareness. How many of us here, when we examine ourselves, that we're that truly self-aware that we can really look at ourselves honestly? Like, this is how I really am. That we want to sugarcoat ourselves to make us look like we're in our own eyes. Because the first thing we think was, I'm not that bad of a person. And as long as you're striving, you're not. But to do what Jared's talking about and what Mr. George is talking about, we have a tendency to want to not look at ourselves honestly.
We also grew up in a democracy. We were all born in a free country in a democracy where votes count. A lot of times we'll do something wrong and we feel like, well, if I get enough people to say that justify what I'm doing, votes count. But the Bible is not a democracy. God's votes on it. If we look at the law and say, God wouldn't want me to do this, it doesn't matter how many people I get to tell me that what I'm doing is okay. If God tells me it's wrong, it's wrong.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. A lot of times we're big on being bandwagoners. If we can get enough people on our bandwagon, then we're doing good. Yeah, that's exactly what Jared's talking about. We go find, it may not be votes, but we go find somewhere else that's that suits what we want to do.
Don't you think also, even though we may go somewhere else and look for someone to accept, that it's still individualized. It's up to us. We have to make that decision, whether it's right or wrong. I think if you I turn that way, I know that it's probably wrong. That's why I want to get out of the heat that I might be in, or a little heat that I'm in, facing the facts. Hey, I made a mistake here. You know, I think there were some really good points that Steve Gill brought up last week about things. And I think so many times that we try to resolve issues on our own or through other people, we need to be praying it up. We need to be talking to God every day. And I know Brother George is, you know, we talk about that quite a bit. You know, no society accepts that, or what, it's still an individual thing. And I think deep down, we all know. We all know. We all know what's right. We all know what's right. I think it's,
well, you get desensitized. You get desensitized to what you're doing, and since you have no repercussions for it a lot of times, then there's no pain involved. Well, and I agree with you, but a lot of the things that are in the things that are scriptural, no, I they should never change. They better never change. But a lot of it is tradition that we hold. But see, Michelle, sometimes we struggle with that fine line of where it's tradition and where it's binding. Well, and I'll just on this, and then we'll get back on our verses here. But it's like I'll use Pup for an example, and Josh, since they're sitting right here. Back 40, 50 years ago, you'd never see guys come to church like that, never. You know, they wouldn't wear short pants. I mean, that is, and I'll use him. Y'all guys probably don't know him, but Dick Kidd. He said, "Ain't no way you come to church wearing a pair of short pants if you knew Dick Kidd." But now that's just tradition. So that's just tradition, and what you know, those shorts here, they're fine. There's not a thing in the world wrong with them. So that's just tradition that we hold to. Sometimes that does change, and it makes it seem like we're more liberal, but it really doesn't. No, that's true, Joe. You wouldn't see women wearing pants. So, and that wasn't that long ago.
That's not the thing that I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And now here I am. But it goes back to here before we get way off track to the judging. What he's telling us is what Mr. George is talking about, and kind of what Jared's talking about also is we have to examine, truly examine ourselves. Look into our hearts and examine ourselves and look at us through God's word. Not through our eyes, but through God's word, and then we see where we stand. You're right, Miss Becky. You're exactly right.
Well, I think too, people want to pick out certain
Yeah. I'll agree with that.
Here's a verse I was trying to find it, and I just can't come up with it, but it talks about when we measure ourselves, we should never measure ourselves against others. We measure ourselves against the Word.
Yes, against the Word.
And I've lost that verse in my mind. I can't pull it out, but it's in there.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Thessalonians, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah. This is not a competition with somebody else. This Christian life we're living is not a competition with somebody else. It's our relationship with God and our relationship with each other through. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Our relationship is vertical this way through the Word and Him. And then our relationship horizontal is me through the Word with say, Mr. George or whoever. That's the way we should always approach our relationships and the way we look at things. That's been really, really, really good stuff. Anything else before we go into verse 7? Let's read from verse 7 down through verse 16, Joey. And if there's anybody else that wants to read, Joey's just my reader over there. That's why I call on him. It saves time.
To those who by persistence in doing good seek those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism.
No, stop right there. Stop right there. What we were talking about, and some people live their lives for glory and they won't be destroyed. And then what they were saying is there will come a time that God will give them eternal life. But those who don't, those who are selfish, and that's back exactly what we were talking about just a second ago. But others that are selfish and refuse to follow the truth, that follow evil, God will show His anger and punish them. Now, let me ask this question. We just got through with that part of it and reading this part right here. If God is a good God, I've heard people say if God's a loving God and His love is unconditional, then how can He punish and show His anger to His children or to people that aren't doing what they're supposed to be? I think that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Now, on that final judgment day, those people will have lived their lives and He'll show them that punishment. And I guess that's one of the things that He says, that it shows that God will see how right God's judgment is. But you're right, Emily. That's exactly the way it is, the way it is. And that's one thing if we can learn. That's one thing if we can learn, if we can look at God as not God, the creator of everything, which He is, but if we can bring it down to where it's like He's our Father. We look at it, I think Stephen Gill even talked about that. And by the way, if you want to listen to Stephen Gill, all you got to do is get on Podomatic and look up Ethers Church Christ and type in His name, and then you can hear all the four lessons that He had here last week. And they are worth listening to. But anyway, if we can learn to look at Him as our Father and make it more personal, then we'll be better off. It'll help us tremendously in our relationship with Him. That we can get to that point that it will truly help us understand that it's just like Emily said, when He punishes us, When you punish your children, that'll mean you love them any less. You're probably loving them more by making it, by disciplining them. But now, let me get to this verse right here. It says, but he will give glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentiles. And then it also says, and he will do the same thing. It goes on down, and he'll punish those, and it'll be the Jew first, and then also to the Gentiles. And that's why I'm saying, when I study this, I struggled with those verses right there. Does that mean on judgment that God will first, if the Jews that have turned to Christ away from Judaism and they've turned to Christ, will he give them the glory and honor first? But what is, I guess my question is, I've looked and looked and looked, and I never did understand what that meant. And I don't know that that's that pertinent to our anything about our salvation. I just didn't understand what that those verses meant. Yeah, he says he. Well,
I think that's just a reference, don't you, to the fact that the Jews got the word first and then the Gentiles.
Maybe is that what I prefaced at the beginning? Is he's actually right at that point talking to the Jews and the Gentiles there in Rome?
Maybe he's just saying he's not giving them an automatic end because they're Jews.
Just because they're Jews. Okay, it's not the fact that he's going to give them first dibs. You know, he's not going to give them more of that. It's just the fact that
he's not going to show favoritism.
Right. Right. All right. Thank y'all, guys. I thought tonight went by quicker than I thought it would.